these couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And once again, we have returned to bring you all of the great reviews of all of the great movies that are hitting this week. And or we're going to talk about movies that we didn't see. Because we have met, once again, a week in which movie studios are...
not screening.
Not cool, man.
They did screen one film for everybody.
What they screen?
You know, thank you, Miramax.
Oh, Extract. Yeah, I missed it, though. It premiered here in Austin, and I totally missed it.
Yeah, that's because, you don't review movies.
Dr. Colobias went to see it, and he said it was good. So
yeah, I saw some tweets from him. But they also apparently limited screenings for All About Steve. Mm-hmm. And no screenings at all for Gamer, even though there were plenty of posters and clips sent to us by publicists.
Oh, yeah, they just couldn't get enough. Anyway, we're going to talk about that in a second. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what we do here and where you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store, and we'll come right up. And we encourage you to review Fat Guys the Movies on iTunes, because... we need something to read during the week.
You can also, and cereal boxes just aren't doing it for us.
Right, not anymore. Well, I mean, once you've catch me if I'm wrong, but once you've read 1,000 cereal boxes, the next 1,000 just all look the same.
Yeah. Once you're up on what's going on in the world of Captain Crunch.
Right. The Captain hasn't changed much in the last couple of years. Anywho, you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. That's 614-388-TREK. So there you have it. Let's talk about this first movie, shall we?
Are we going to jump right into the movie?
I don't know. Do you have something else you want to talk about?
Or are we going to stall a little bit more?
Would you like to? Is there some other topic that you'd like to talk about?
No, it's all personal. I'm just my back is up today because of people politicking on Facebook, but that's just me.
You're so concerned with Facebook. It's so
Facebook and
adorable.
Twitter isn't. Yeah, Facebook and Twitter. How lazy do you have to be if you want to start a political movement through Facebook and Twitter? And I'm going to change my status. And if I put it on my status and encourage other people to put it on their status, I will suddenly change people's minds. That's how it works. It's like a yard sign. The most ridiculous thing in the world. Oh my gosh, look at that name on the yard sign.
Oh my God. My interest in this conversation has been greatly exceeded by its length. So I say we move on to talk about Extract.
Liked your political movement, though.
Beating up hobos?
Beating up is it hobos or homeless people?
Doesn't
because
matter.
Homeless people.
People
no, there
don't
is a difference.
Homes.
Homeless people just sit there.
Uh-huh.
And hobos, like, hop trains and stuff like that. The big hobo problem we had in the Depression that was documented by the American Girl movie.
I should just be able to beat up people on the street. Doesn't matter who they are. Or
with
what? Whatever I got handy. Anyway.
With my girlfriend, I'll just grab her and throw her at people.
Yes. In Mike Judge's Extract, Jason Bateman plays a guy trying to sell his extract factory and dealing with various shenanigans in his life.
Shenanigans?
Hey! Joel is the company's best manager.
You're the king of what is it you're making out here?
It's extract.
You're the extract king, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Until one little accident tore everything apart.
That is messed up.
We got trouble. Deb talked to a lawyer, Joe Adler.
Call me El Tigre.
He is a human turd.
And I don't know if you caught this from the clip or not, but one of the shenanigans is the always hot Mila Kunis. And his equally as attractive yet somewhat homely wife, played by Kristen Wiig.
She's hot though, man.
I'd
take some Kristen Wiig action if I could.
Right. But his wife apparently won't
threw
do
you off on that.
Will no longer grant him entry into the garden of good and evil, and so he is now attracted to this girl who is who works for him, a temp, played by Mila Kunis.
Although I have a friend who did the junket for Extract, and in his interview with Mila Kunis, she was talking about how she claims that she's like, well, I look good because I have a professional makeup person and hairstylist. She's like, when I get out of bed and I walk around, she's like, I'm mistaken for a 14-year-old girl all the time. And and of course his response was, so am I.
Wow. So. There's so many bad ways that you could take that and just run with it in the wrong direction. Yeah.
I think she mentioned your name.
Yeah, no.
At one point, yeah.
Sounds about right. Anyway, so they didn't. I missed this movie, but from what I hear from Dr. Cole Abias, who saw it here in Austin, it's quite funny.
Yeah, it is funny. And here's the thing: it's done by Mike Judge, who did Office Space, probably best known for that and Beavis and Butthead. Mm-hmm. Least known, of course, for Idiocracy.
Which was a good movie.
Which isn't bad. You know what the sticking point in Idiocracy was?
Mm.
Maya Rudolph. She was, like, terrible in that movie.
Yeah, which blows my mind because Maya Rudolph was so good in Away We Go.
Yeah, you were saying that.
She was fantastic in that movie, as was John Krasinski.
There's a certain truth that Mike Judge has in his movies, and that was what was so terrifying about Idiocracy, is he explains how basically stupid people will inherit the earth because they procreate more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch that first 5 minutes of Idiocracy, you're like, wow, he really makes a good point. And in Extract, it's kind of the same in the sense that you see this truth of people who it's similar. It's being compared to Office Space because, you know, it kind of has the working stiff issue, you know, these guys or people are working in a factory and problems happen because they're sort of disgruntled and not paying attention, and it is all, the world keeps coming crashing down on Jason Bateman's character, owns a factory, but he's dealing with, you know, Mila Kunis she's a grifter who's trying to scam him, and he's got a guy who's suing the company. He's got an annoying neighbor played by David Koechner, who is fantastic in the movie,
right?
And of course he's got his wife, who is frigid yet unfaithful. The best role though in the movie is Ben Affleck plays his sort of drug addicted friend who works at a sports bar. Ben Affleck, who looks like the Zohan. You honestly think he's the Zohan when you watch him.
Ben Affleck really let himself go for this role.
Yeah, I mean, he really channels the look of Adam Sandler in last summer's mega hit. Would you call it a massive blockbuster? You don't mess with the Zohan.
It was the biggest movie about an ex-Israeli military guy who becomes a hairdresser.
That's true. I think that they
have set a new record.
They have a chart in Box Office Mojo for that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Extract's very funny. It stumbles around story-wise. It's not the most rigid story. It doesn't fit together really well, but the acting is great in it.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I have a feeling we're going to do this for a couple of weeks. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Not a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, scene by scene, it's hilarious, and the acting's great. I mean, Jason Bateman's always funny, and you got Kristen Wiig's funny, and David Koechner, and Ben Affleck, and J.K. Simmons is in it. It has some incredibly funny moments, and it goes places you don't expect. I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm like, and I have to say, I sat there in the theater, and I was like, going, wow, I didn't think Mike Judge would do that, but he did. You know, good for him, man. It has stuff that you won't expect to see happen in the movie.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
All right. So. Fair enough.
So, I give it a kind of rocks.
You give it a kind of rocks. I'm giving you a secondhand kind of rocks from all the other people that I know who saw it, except for me. I didn't see it.
Except for you. You.
The one movie that I could have seen this week. I just really feel. You know what though? I watched Hot Fuzz on Blu-ray.
So. I got Hot Fuzz. I haven't watched it on Blu-ray yet, but
so there. I'm feeling good.
I was very excited when that came on my door. It streets on the. September 22nd.
Yeah. Anyway, so Extract gets a kind of rocks. When we come back in our next segment, we're going to speculate about two movies that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and after that riveting first segment, I'm sure you guys are all ready for us to move on and talk about a bunch of movies we didn't see.
Well, not a bunch, just two.
That's a bunch, a handful.
Thanks, Fox and Lionsgate.
Yeah. Shaking my fist at you. Anyway, well,
you know what's funny is I'm not, you know, it's like we weren't allowed to see All About Steve. They just didn't show it to us, but you know, I'm not like... It's not like G.I. Joe, where it really had me pissed off that they didn't show it to us. I'm kind of like, oh, they're not showing All About Steve. Eh.
Well, the movie looks awful, but I mean, we're going to talk about that one in a second. The first one is the movie...
Yeah, let's leave that for its own segment, yes.
Yeah, the first one is a movie that Lionsgate is clearly afraid of, and I will tell you why. I know a story. There is one screening of this movie in New York, and this is a lot of inside baseball, but I don't think that people normally care about this stuff, except for this situation. Wait till you hear about this.
Yes, yes.
So
tell me.
There was a screening in New York City of Gamer, which let me introduce this first, and we'll play the clip and we'll come back. Gamer, more shenanigans from the guys who did Crank, with Gerard Butler as a guy being controlled in a real-life video game.
Boop, boop, boop.
They call it a game.
Slayers gives the gamer full control of a human being in full-scale combat.
But the players are real.
Every one of our Slayers is a death row inmate. Stay alive for 30 sessions, you get set free. That's not a bad deal.
Some try to beat the system.
Get me out of here!
But no one has ever survived.
Cable's a perfect soldier. He is what they want.
Now we tell you that story to tell you this one. In New York City, they did a screening for critics, I guess, so that they usually do these like junket screenings so that mm-hmm. people can do interviews the next day.
Yeah.
It's usually not for critics. And they made people sign a non-disclosure agreement.
When did they do the screening?
It was like last week. It was earlier. No, earlier this week.
They had agree that they won't talk about the movie for 5 days.
They wouldn't talk about the movie at all in any way, shape, or form on Twitter, on Facebook, on anywhere. Like, they wouldn't even like talk about it on the street or wow. mention it to their mothers. Like, it was like apparently it was the most ridiculous thing. In fact,
it's all about national security, right? They're going to go to Guantanamo Bay if they...
Exactly. And apparently there were critics that like wouldn't sign it and walked out. And it was this big brouhaha. And essentially what it comes down to is...
Did you just say brouhaha?
Yes.
Who are you, Robert Preston from the music
band? I am now. But it all comes down to the fact that Lionsgate is clearly afraid to show this film to anyone. Not so much necessarily them being afraid to show it, but them being afraid of what people will say once they've seen it.
I got a real Free Jack feeling about this movie.
I cannot wait to go see this weekend. To pay my hard-earned money to go see it and then write an article about it. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to be the worst movie of the year, or it's going to be really awesome, and it's once again going to be one of those like smack yourself in the head situations where you're like, what are they thinking? Why didn't they show this movie? Like,
well,
what?
You know the directors, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know, have you had any sort of correspondence with them?
No, not this summer, but Mark Neville Dean and Brian Taylor, they're really good guys. They make really fun movies. They made the Crank series. They make stupid shoot 'em up movies, but their movies are very entertaining.
They're just doing it to get laid, though.
Right. Oh, totally. They're doing it so that they can like bang Amy Smart on the casting couch. But overall, their movies are kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why Lionsgate is afraid to show their movies to anybody. They did this with Crank 2. Like,
did they even do like non-press screenings?
I don't think so.
Because I don't even think they did that for Crank 2. I think Lionsgate, they did that for Crank, where the press wasn't allowed in. But I don't even think they did that for Crank 2.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of interesting, but yeah, it does have that sort of Free Jack. You ever seen the movie Free Jack?
No, I haven't.
It stars Emilio Estevez and...
Maybe we should just review that instead.
Anthony Hopkins and Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
I mean, and Rene Russo. Awesome. It was like an early 90s movie. And it got I got a theatrical release because my wife and I went and saw it when we were in college. And mm-hmm. and you watch it would have been totally... It would have been like Robo Jocks, you know, direct to DVD nowadays.
Right.
So, or Robot Jocks.
Transmorphers. Anyway.
With Jennifer Rubin.
You know, it's so... Here's the deal on this movie, Gamer. It's a preemptive suck, obviously. There you go, Lionsgate. Now you're getting what you deserve. You're getting the wrath of the fat guys of the movies. But you know what? Gerard Butler is a charismatic lead. He's a good actor. He could very well pull off just about any role, in my mind. Although I like him in comedy. Like, I liked him in Rock and Rolla, where
he can
be funny.
I don't know if he could do every role.
Well, I mean, but he's done a range. I mean, he's done comedy. He's done drama. I've seen him, I mean, Phantom
Scarlet
of the Opera.
Scarlett O'Hara. I don't think he could pull off Scarlett O'Hara in a remake of Gone.
Naturally.
Well, you said any role.
But he's also...
He could never play Oliver Twist. I'm sorry.
Hey, may I have some more, please?
I'm cultured.
He's also a good action guy. We saw that in 300.
Oh, he's an awesome action dude.
And Neville Dean and Taylor, they're... style of action movie is kind of cool. So I can see this movie being enjoyable. I just can't in good conscience recommend people go see this unless you are really hardcore adrenaline junkie. So here's your litmus test essentially for whether you should go see this movie or not. If you saw Crank and then rushed to the theater to see Crank 2, you should probably go see Gamer.
This is how I would say it. Watch Blair Witch on fast forward 3 inches from the screen. If you don't throw up, go see it.
So there. I think we should get people to email in and tell us which test you used to see if you should go see Gamer and whether or not it was effective. I think we should, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Another movie to talk about. We got like 4 more minutes to rip apart another. I don't really want to talk about it either. Do you? Should we?
Actually, I watched the trailer for this, and I didn't even get all the way through the trailer for this movie.
You were bored with the trailer.
You know, because I post the trailers at filmschoolrejects.com, so I have to like sit there and watch them like 2 or 3 times, once to encode the movie, and the second one to put it on the site and make sure that it's working once we put it on the site. And I could not get through this trailer 3 times.
Really?
So let's see if I can get through it now.
See if you can... Well, wait, you got to tell what it's about first.
Oh, well, no, I thought you were going
to
introduce it.
Okay,
anyway.
I'll do it. Okay, it's Sandra Bullock falls in love with Bradley Cooper, which leads to stalking and other shenanigans.
Now, for Mary.
Mayor, your date is here.
He's hot.
It was love at first sight.
Hey, Mary.
For Steve.
Oh, wow.
It was not.
Yeah. There's a hurricane off the coast of Texas.
I got to go to work.
I really wish you could be there.
I'm going to go meet Steve at his next job.
You can't stay here.
But you said...
I'm a guy. We say things we don't mean.
Well, then, how do I know you mean what you're saying now when you said you didn't mean what you said?
I almost made it.
Did you make it through? And this is a...
It's only a 30-second trailer.
I didn't put the whole thing in here.
Anyway, this movie's awful. Awful, 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 awful.
What, you know what this movie proves? Because first of all, the fact that Fox didn't screen it very much at all. I know they screened it for some people. Because I know somebody in San Francisco. I believe he's from San Francisco. And funny is he told me that there was a screening, but he didn't go. but I'm pretty sure they screened it like the top 5 market kind of thing.
Right.
But Fox is notorious. They're one of the big studios that will not screen stuff if they don't have any confidence in it. Well, here's the other thing. I think that this movie is going to prove that all the critics who complain about romantic comedies because they're too formulaic, it's going to prove them wrong. Because this, it looks like a romantic comedy that changes the formula.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's just not going to work at all.
Well, you know why it's not going to work? Sandra Bullock.
Is 44 years old.
Right. And I mean, you have a decent, like, you have a decent cast in the rest of this movie. You have Thomas Hayden Church, who's very funny. Mm-hmm. You have Bradley Cooper, who, as we saw in The Hangover, can do comedy. And
he's done some great Wedding Crashers. He was in Kitchen Confidential. He's a great actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good actor. Ken Young, Dr. Ken Young, who's been in every Judd Apatow movie. And
every movie
seems like he's in every comedy.
He's like that little Indian guy from Scrubs. He's in, like, everything.
He's hilarious. And so you have a lot of very funny people in this movie and Sandra Bullock. And well, she just ruins it.
I love Sandra Bullock. I do. I really like her stuff. And like The Proposal, I thought it was a cute movie, but it was appropriate for her. She's pretty. She doesn't look like she's 44, but she doesn't look like she's 24 either. I mean, the character she plays in this looks like you'd be like, oh, this would be somebody in your mid-20s to play this role. She's just way too, you know, she's just too old. I mean, she doesn't look too old, but she just is too old to play the quirky, goofy girl who then starts to stalk somebody. I mean, this looks really weird.
Right.
And one more thing I want to say why this movie is going to suck.
Okay, go ahead.
It was originally supposed to be released in March, and they moved it to Labor Day weekend. What?
They moved it out of March.
They moved it out of March and into Labor Day weekend so it could just die.
Nice. All right, one more thing to drive it home. Yes. That I don't normally like to quote other people's reviews, but there's a very few sources I actually trust in movies. One of them is the AV Club.
Yeah.
They're very good.
What did they say?
They gave it an F.
Wow.
And they very rarely hand out the old F.
They do very few F-bombs, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, just like Film School Rejects, we very rarely hand out that big F, and they gave it an F. So, All About Steve, F.
Preemptive suck.
Nice.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Welcome back, Neil.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Kevin.
You're welcome. Thank you, John.
It's as lovely, as always. It's been a lovely affair.
It's awesome. Speaking of having people, this probably isn't the best way to say it.
No.
Sounds like you were a guest, but I wanted to give a shout out to G-Man Reviews on gmanreviews.blogspot.com.
Yeah, I know this guy. I follow him on Twitter.
Andrew Robinson had me as a guest on his podcast last week. We'll put a link up so you can hear me talk about what it's like to be a critic.
Why would somebody want to have you on a podcast?
You know, I was on another podcast this past weekend. I was on Reject Radio.
Oh, yes, you were. Holy smokes. Yeah. I forgot about
that. The most popular show ever. I think you've tripled your listenership just with that show.
I know, right? Well, I heard that somewhere. I think I like that you're doing like the world tour of podcasts because you were on that other one, that Cue the Film.
Cue the Film.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to try and get you on the Slash Film cast.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be like Kevin Carr all over the place. You're everywhere.
I am a whore. I will whore myself out to any podcast. If it's a podcast about growing vegetables in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
heck yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
If it's a podcast about how to put politics on Facebook pages and through Twitter, I'll do that.
And lose friends.
And I'll bitch you out. I will bitch you out.
hold on. Let me say something real quick about the Twitter.
Sasquatch.
If you would like to follow us on Twitter, which I forgot to mention earlier, we got to add that to the notes next time.
Oh yeah, because you're so stupid.
Twitter.com/rejects.
Did you notice how clever my insult was? It's just because you're stupid.
I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're too stupid.
Twitter.com/rejects is myself, and Twitter.com/KevinCarr is Kevin Carr. You can get one of the nice things about Twitter, if you follow us on Twitter, is that we react to movies kind of as we see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like little mini reviews, little 140 character mini reviews. Also, Kevin live tweets his DVD releases sometimes, and it's somewhat entertaining.
Somewhat entertaining.
Yeah.
I hear that certain people at the Reject HQ enjoy those.
Oh, yes. Bethany Perryman, our resident sex columnist.
Yes.
She's a big fan of you. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
It's really...
Because she's a genius. I will probably be live tweeting something this weekend.
Awesome.
Just because I got to get through some stuff. I may have to live tweet Hot Fuzz at some point.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome movie. The other thing about... the whole thing about putting up politics on Twitter and Facebook, this is the kind of stuff I expect to see on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a post I put up earlier today. Let me just, you know, school everybody on mm-hmm. what's an appropriate Twitter post.
Okay.
Here is my post from this morning. While delicious, it is not wise to have pizza roll, Diet Mountain Dew Code Red, and Haagen-Dazs ice cream as a midnight snack.
Fascinating.
That's what people want to hear on Twitter.
Riveting.
They don't want to hear I have these great views, but I'm so lazy, I'm going to put them in 140 characters or less.
Yeah.
Put them on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anywho.
Hmm.
That's all I have to say about that.
Whew, moving on to box office. What happened last weekend at the box office? Oh, that all those crappy movies came out, didn't they?
What was last weekend anyway?
It was Final Destination and Halloween 2. Final Destination ended up winning the weekend with $27.4 million.
It was the world's tallest midget.
Yes, Inglourious Basterds took the second spot. That was nice to see, $19 million. Yeah. And Halloween 2 took $16 million of discerning Americans' money.
What I found funny is even the people who liked the first the Rob Zombie Halloween
mm-hmm.
didn't like Halloween 2. I mean, I heard people, and I know people are diehard horror movie fans. They're all about horror movies.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, that one kind of sucked.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was bad. But it deserved to not do well. District 9 made $10 million. District 9, $90 million. International sensation.
That's just domestic, right?
That's just domestic. How much has it made overall? I like that District 9 movie. It's good. People should go see it. It's only made $100 million. So you need to get out there and go see it, people. Okay? Go see that District 9 thing.
Neil Miller has said so. We must comply.
I have spoken. Moving on to this weekend, we've
got... Oh, you want to know something else was cool? I got an invite to a party at the Playboy Mansion.
I know. I read that on your Twitter, twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
I'm going to pick up Big Idio in St. Louis, and we're just going to go.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if that's really going to happen.
That's
probably
not true.
Not.
Anyway, this week, the Gamer is the widest release at 2,500 theaters. It's almost 1,000 theaters less than Inglourious Basterds. So I have a feeling, Kevin Carr, that Inglourious Basterds is going to win this weekend.
With like $10 million.
With like $10 or $12 million.
It was put it this way. It's not going to take much to win this weekend.
Because let's face it, the Final Destination has kind of worn out its welcome already.
Oh, that's gonna plummet. That's going to drop.
Same thing.
That's going to drop like you do your knees at a frat boy party. I don't know what that means.
That's not true. But so that one's going to drop. Halloween 2 also going to drop. I wouldn't be surprised if like Julie and Julia makes a comeback to the number two spot this week. Gamer is the ninth widest release. Like it is not even in the top five widest movies.
Like, I don't think anything's going to. I honestly, of the three new movies. Mm-hmm. I will eat a pair of underpants. I'm not saying whose.
If any of them make it to number one.
If any of them make more than $10
million. Oh, yeah. I don't think so. Gamer, All About
Alone,
Steve.
Not combined.
Extract is only in 1,600 theaters. It's barely a release this weekend. So.
And Extract's a good movie. It'll do okay, but it's gotten buried. You don't release things on Labor Day weekend. Oh, and I've said this. Labor Day weekend is on par with the first weekend of the year, first weekend of January, on par with the worst release time of movies.
Yeah.
They just don't, nobody cares.
So there you go. All kinds of crap happening at the box office this weekend. I'm glad we didn't see these movies.
Yeah.
Because I had better stuff to do with my time. Like watch Hot Fuzz on Blu-ray.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway.
Ooh, I just sounded really creepy. It sounded like an old man like at like a NASCAR race when a hot chick walks by who's like half his age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
I've been meaning to talk to you
about that.
Anyway, so there you go. There you have it. So let's do a little Fat Guy 5 action. This week's Fat Guy 5 brought to you by crappy holiday weekends.
Can I mention this real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
There is in Columbus, Ohio... It literally just came over the wire today.
Literally,
from
ranked.
noon October 17th to noon October 18th at the Grandview Theater in Columbus. In person, Stuart Gordon, director of Reanimator and From Beyond, is going to be at the first annual Ohio 24-Hour Horror Marathon. So they're going to be showing I Sell the Dead, The Black Cat, The Mask of Red Death, Day of the Dead, John Carpenter's The Thing, Henry Portrait of the Serial Killer, Daughters of Darkness, Q with David Carradine, God rest his soul, The Host, and the Spanish movie Werewolf versus the Vampire Women.
Nice.
Be there or...
I'm thinking about flying home now.
Dude, this will be awesome. October 17th and 18th. This just came over the wire.
This has made me happy.
This is covered up all the wounds from my Facebook war this afternoon.
Nice. That's fantastic. Horror.
Yes. Shock around the clock.
Bring
your lady friend and we'll go.
That'd be kind of fun. But we have a lot of stuff going on. We got Fantastic Fest coming up, which we'll preview for you later this month. We'll preview for you here on the old Fat Guys at the Movies. So stay tuned for that. But that's later. Right now, it's time for Fat Guy 5. We don't even have a Fat Guy 5 this week. Okay?
We can't do 5.
We're just going to talk about how crappy Labor Day weekend is. Because we looked it up, and the highest grossing Labor Day weekend movie of all time...
Opening weekend.
Well, since 1982, it's opening this weekend. Last year, Tropic Thunder won the weekend, but it opened like 3 weeks before. And it was just still like rolling through. But the highest one since 1982 is Halloween, the original Rob Zombie remake from 2007. And then in the top, also
with $30 million, which is huge for a Labor Day opening.
Right, $30 million. Transporter 2, which was not a bad movie, just not a great movie. In second place with $20 million. Jeepers Creepers 2 is third. Number 4 is Jeepers Creepers, and number 5, Balls of Fury.
Apparently, if
if you're a child molester, Labor Day weekend is a great time to release movies. So when they release that Michael Jackson biopic thing that they're doing, they should do it opening weekend on Labor Day.
So, like, it's just, it's crappy horror movie week.
Do you understand my child molester? Because the guy who directed Jeepers Creepers, yeah, he's a child molester. He's a convicted child
I've heard
molester.
That. Balls of Fury, number 5.
No child molester.
Also in the top 10, The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man, what a crappy movie.
Babylon A.D.
And The Wicker Man being the remake from...
Yeah, the remake. Babylon A.D., which is the number 8 all-time biggest release, and it didn't even win the weekend. It lost the box office weekend to Tropic Thunder, which had been out for 3 weeks last year.
And then there's The Constant Gardener, which was like a award film, actually.
Right, which was... that was like the start of award season that year. Traitor, which came out last year... only did 10 million, I guess. They finished third. You can see, like, a movie that finished third last year is 10th all time. That just shows you how terrible Labor Day weekend.
Well, what rounds out the list? These are my favorite. The ones that they have to dig back to 1996 for these.
Right.
The Crow, City of Angels. Not the first Crow. It's monumentous sequel.
Right.
Which was only done worse in The Crow... the one with Edward Furlong.
Right. First...
which was the fourth movie.
First Kid.
I don't even remember this movie.
What? It starred Sinbad.
Oh my God, was that the Sinbad movie?
The Sinbad movie, First Kid, with... that's not Macaulay Culkin, is it? No, there's no way. Timothy Busfield is in it.
Oh, quality.
And Sinbad. That's pretty much... And the guy from Sports Night, the guy who plays JJ on Sports Night, wasn't it? Wow. Yeah, no, really. We're really stretching it at this point. So,
ooh, Robert Guillaume was in that.
Yeah, so...
Benson.
So, final word here on this segment that seems to be going downhill quickly.
Yes, give us a final word, please.
You're better off, like, going to a barbecue.
you're better off... There's so much more DVD. There's better DVDs this week than
seriously,
and they're like TV on DVD, so you can spend the whole weekend and not actually go to the theater.
Oh my God! Or go back and watch Battlestar Galactica season 1 again. For the love of all things holy, go for a walk. Go to the pool because the pools are going to close soon in certain parts of the country. Oh God! Please just don't go to the movies. If I see people at a gamer screening this weekend, I'm going to cry. That's.
Yes.
Anyways, when we come back, we're going to wrap you up. And we're back here on Fat Guys Movies. We're wrapping you up. It's time to get through this last segment so that we can all go not see movies. I know it's funny because...
Not see movies? I thought that was last weekend and Christmas.
Not view movies.
Ooh.
Anyway, here's the deal. I know that we are fans of film in general. I think that's why we both got into this business. We like film. We like to go see films in the movie theaters, which is why we can stand doing what we do. We love it.
That's one way of saying it.
Why we can tolerate sitting through.
Why we can tolerate this job.
Well, you know, I mean, let's face it. For every good, great movie, there's about 5 bad ones that come out a year. So you got to kind of wade through sometimes.
That's a good,
You know, not every movie is Transformers 2.
Thank God.
Normally we would support the going and seeing of the movies, but not this week.
No.
You know, we try and keep it honest around
this
here.
This is a bad,
around
bad
here,
week.
Fat Guys in the movies. The virtual studio in the sky is a no-lie zone. So.
Who are you, Bill O'Reilly?
Yes, this is a no-spin zone.
Are you bringing politics into the show now?
Speaking of things that go round and round, it is time once again for the world-famous DVD roundup. And we'll start with me because, well, I'm just kind of cool like that. And I've got a couple good ones, all right? So first of all is Disney Nature's Earth on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
If you've seen BBC Planet Earth or if you watch the Discovery Channel HD as much as I do, then you absolutely should check this movie out. It has the best chase scene of the year in it. It involves a wolf and a gazelle. And I don't want to tell you how it ends because it's better than the chase scene of Bad Boys 2.
Wow.
Awesome. It's awesome. Wow. So it's very epic. Also on DVD this week that I
think
you should check out.
Let me say
out.
This about the whole BBC Earth line. They have other releases. They have one series called Nature's Most Amazing Events. Fantastic on Blu-ray. It's amazing stuff. And Disney's Earth, Disney Nature's Earth is also really cool. So I concur.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that you agree and validate my opinion because
that's what
people
for.
Need. Also, Rescue Me Season 5. If you're a fan of Rescue Me, then you already know that this is great stuff.
Okay.
Sin Nombre, which is a fantastic little indie about immigration that I think everyone should check out.
Immigration.
I would suggest you at least go rent it because it's kind of an interesting story about immigrating to the United States.
It's about Somalians, isn't it?
Traveling through. No, it's about Mexico.
With a name like Sin Nombre?
Yeah.
Why do they got a name in French?
That's Spanish.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Wow. Anyway, also Gladiator and Braveheart as part of the Sapphire series on Blu-ray this week. Because I've been waiting for Gladiator on Blu-ray for a long, long time.
So you could strip down to your skivvies and stand there and...
Are you not entertained?
Yes.
I need that in HD. So I would suggest
checking
those out.
Wow, you're not making a case for yourself.
No? No? Mm. All right.
Well,
anyway,
you are making a case of some sort.
Speaking of poor cases, why don't you tell us what your DVD picks are?
My DVD picks, mine are all, with the exception of State of Play, which comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, which I like the movie. I know Dr. Cola Bias took issue with what he said was unrealistic views of Washington. Excuse me. But I like that movie. So that's on DVD and Blu-ray. There's also, but all my stuff, the rest of my stuff is TV shows, and I got to give a little bit of love to ABC since they're really good to me with Blu-rays. Brothers and Sisters Season 3, which believe it or not, I hate to admit it, but it kind of grew on me, and now I actually do like the show. Desperate Housewives is a show I hate, but it's coming out Season 5. This show is still going strong, so people love that show. Don't personally know why, but, you know, hey, it's out there, and these, I think, premiere on September 27th. So this is why they're getting all these great TV on DVD stuff is because they're gearing up for their September premieres. There's also Hero Season 3, which is okay. I mean, it's a great DVD and Blu-ray set. It's got plenty of special features. And it's not the best season of Heroes, but...
It's like the worst.
Let's just say that Season 4 is called Redemption, so hopefully that... is literal. There's also...
That's false advertising.
I gotta say...
That's not happening.
2.5 Men, Season 6. That's a funny, funny show. And it blows
my mind. You know what?
It's
funny because I end up watching that show all the time.
I love that show.
And I don't want to, but I end up watching
it's
it.
It's awesome. It's a great show. So yeah, that comes out. That's out on DVD this week. Not on Blu-ray, but just DVD. But I also want to throw two little mentions out there. Lie to Me, Season 1 is out on Blu-ray and DVD. So check that out if you haven't, because you know you're not going to see anything good in the theaters this week. Also, Sons of Anarchy. I got sent that, and I hadn't seen it because I just hadn't watched it. You raved about it on FSR.
Right.
And
I was a big fan.
That's a good show, man. That's a really good show. And it's on FX. That's what's kind of cool. Is it's like it's on FX, so it's not like Showtime where you get really edgy. But it's pretty doggone edgy for sort of like mid, not quite basic cable, but not quite premium channel. So it's like The Shield in terms of sort of grittiness.
Very cool. I like it.
Yeah. So there you go.
Sweet. What else you got?
No, that's it. We got a stinker. You want to hit the stinker?
Wow, stinker time. Hit it up.
Puppies and Kittens on Blu-ray. This is a big shout-out to Scott E. Weinberg for bringing it to my attention that this
Scott Weinberg, the managing editor of Cinematical.com.
Yes, he tweeted this out, Puppies and Kittens on Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray.
Just in case all the YouTube videos weren't quite enough and you need to have that high digital picture and sound.
If you really need a cat, a puppies and kitten in HD, just go buy one.
Go get a real one.
Yeah.
They're cheaper than a DVD player.
As if you don't already have one, you crazy cat lady.
Oh, we're almost at the time here.
Almost out of time. Time to wrap up reviews. Extract, Kevin saw it and said...
Kind of rocks. Everything else sucks.
Everything else sucks this week. Next week, we've got 9, Sorority Row, Whiteout, and Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. I think Kevin Carr's going to like that one.
I'll be at the
In the meantime, we will meet you at fatguysinthemovies.com. Until next week, go forth and go out to a barbecue or something this weekend.
Bye. Shenanigans.